You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Atamadie, good morning. Kohana Ross, toku ingoa. Welcome to this week's bits. This week on The Wire, BFM reporters looked a lot into te reo and the use of it in New Zealand. Firstly, last week, RNZ had come under a bit of fire for its use of te reo, with Don Brash, among others, annoyed by its presence on national radio and television. Brash says he doesn't understand the language, says it has no value to him, and it is being rammed down people's throats. Other people, like media commentator John Drennan, says RNZ does not have a strategy for its use of te reo, with no reason given as to why it is being used and what is being said. The Monday Wire team were joined for a live panel discussion on the use of te reo in the media by news director Lillian Hanley, Morning Glory host Geneva Alexander-Masters, and former Wire producer Eitereno Matariki.
My general reaction was not one of surprise. Like, as everybody would all know, like, what this past campaign as leader of the ACT Party as well as leader of National, he's been very open about his views about Māori and anything to do with Māori, full stop. So it wasn't really a surprising thing. But it was really cool to hear that he was specifically bothered by the general use of te reo Māori and in a station like Radio New Zealand, because that shows me that times are changing and that everybody is becoming more and more open to using te reo widely on as broadcasters, which is a cool thing.
Do you guys in the studio want to respond to that?
So someone mentioned to me at a party on Saturday, it was a staff party, it was Stars in Your Eyes themed. I was dressed up as Rihanna. And yes, ooh. Yeah, bitch better have my money, Rihanna. So big green jacket. I was feeling very fabulous, very sassy. And someone was like, oh, so did you hear about the Kim Hill, Don Brash thing? And I was like, why should I give a shit about either of those people? And that was my reaction. Because even though it's like cool and stuff, it's like, why the fuck are we still talking about this? And why are we giving this guy a platform? Because he sucks. And Hobson's pledge and Don Brash can go into the bin. Just put them in the bin.
Well, that's a good point you make. That's a good point you make. Why did the media still give these people a voice when they clearly seem to be more and more in the minority?
Yeah, because they're like, oh, what a surprise. It's like, no, it's not a surprise. And yeah.
And also, I guess there's that shock factor, right, when you've got this quite blatant racism that comes out. But actually, this is not necessarily shocking to a lot of people. People that have to live day to day kind of microaggressions that deal with, you know, racist or anti attitudes towards te reo, towards Māori people in general, those sorts of things. It's not necessarily shocking, but then you get Don Brash and he comes in and he's, you know, he upholds. It is a very sort of, I think, a small minority of people that agree with him and support this. But by putting him on a platform, and I think it goes back to those kind of old school news values, right, where you've got people who are in positions of, quote, authority. I'm not sure if he's still there, but he's somebody that's been in our political sphere for a while now, and you get him and he's the one that you go to for these kinds of issues. And of course, if he says something like this, you're going to go to the source, right? But people have been vocal about the issue that you've got two Pākehā people debating a Māori issue with no Māori kind of voice in there. And it's like, okay, why are two white people just debating the existence of te ao Māori?
Why are they debating it as if, like, their opinion is the definition of it existing and when it already exists without them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or like, that they think that their opinion is the most valid opinion, therefore is, like, the most commonly shared opinion, which is not true. Like, because everybody's more open to using te reo. And, like, one thing I've noticed since moving to another country and living in another space, especially running into a lot of expat New Zealanders, they yearn for te reo Māori. like truly yearn for it, and they love it when somebody pats them on the shoulder and says kia ora. Like just a simple kia ora brightens up an expat's day. So this whole opinion where te reo Māori is useless, it's not useless. It gives you, as a New Zealander, pride to know that your country is the only country where Māori is the native language. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I totally want to add to that as well. It's part of our identity as citizens of this country. It's our identity that is being compromised through this argument. And I think it's very important for us to hold on to te reo, for everyone to acknowledge and enjoy for that reason.
We then looked back to 1972, where the Te Reo Māori Society and activist group Ngā Tamata presented a petition to Parliament calling on Māori language and culture to be introduced in schools. 95BFM's Lachlan spoke with John McCaffrey, who was one of the people who presented the petition about te reo then and now.
The older people over 40 or 60 were still speaking Māori, but there was just this huge gap among young people and young people growing up in the towns in particular, not having any access to te reo at all. And also, of course, a huge amount of opposition. And they had to mention that you wanted to speak te reo or used it, and you know, the racists would come out, yeah.
Why did you decide to start the petition?
I mean, I'm a New Zealand Pākehā of Irish ancestry, and I think that's really important to my story, because my ancestors, of course, were dispossessed of land and language and culture in Ireland, and my grandparents and parents always had this view that we hadn't come to New Zealand to recreate the same, you know, racist, discriminatory sort of things that were happening in Ireland. So I was driven very much by, you know, my whānau, my family, and what sort of society they thought we should be creating. So my parents sent me off to work in volunteer service abroad in the Pacific in Tonga, and then encouraged me to enrol in te reo at Vic. And I was the first young Pākehā really in those classes. Everyone else at those times was a minister or a social worker. So I started in that first year, and together with a small group of people, the Jews and Rangitāwiras and others, we just decided that, you know, te reo was going to face extinction. And I think it was Richard Benton's Council for Educational Research showing the first time data had actually showed that so few people were speaking it, and we had access to that through our lectures with Richard and Koro Jews and Api Mahuika and others. And so we saw some years before the research reports were published that there was an imminent disaster facing us all. And from my point of view, I could see that Pākehā would never get access to te reo if it died out. And so if Māori didn't have it, we couldn't have it. If we couldn't have it, the nation couldn't have it. So we were stuffed, basically. And I think that's, you know, kind of where we began.
The petition aimed to have Māori language and culture offered in all schools. Do you think this has been achieved?
No, that's a really tragic thing. The recent hui, Te Atakura o Te Reo, which we held in Wellington with the organisation of the Victoria students that's still running, Te Reo Māori Society. I mean, my main presentation there was that the Crown has absolutely failed to accept the gift that was offered to them 45 years ago, and that was that te reo for all New Zealanders. So we still have political parties and governments who can't make up their mind and be confident enough about the nation that we are and a vision ahead to say, yeah, we'll build te reo into the things that the schools do, and we'll offer it to everyone. So, yeah, it's an uncompleted task, and that's why we work so hard with Labor and the Greens this year, leading up to the election, to try and encourage them to firm up those policies. And I'm pretty confident that we will see that now.
Former Māori Party leader Marama Fox then spoke to 95BFM reporter Mary Margaret Slack about the use of te reo in New Zealand.
Listen, there are so many of ordinary Kiwi Pākehā in New Zealand who absolutely love te reo Māori, absolutely love the treaty, and want to know how they can practically honour it in their working and everyday environment. I meet and work with a number of people across all the spectrums of New Zealand who absolutely love our bicultural heritage, recognise that we're moving into a multicultural our future, but respecting and honouring the treaty means we first need to understand what biculturalism looks like. And so I think that we are moving on, and the types of comments that were made by a certain age of men in this country over the last couple of weeks shows that actually those are sort of assimilation theories and practices and thoughts that should be resigned to the history books of this country and left there to be studied as what we should not have done, and not to be promoted as the way of the future. Because if you look at our young people and you look at our children and our young parents, they are embracing Māori culture as part of who they are as being a Kiwi. And so I think the future looks bright for us, but we have to move ourselves past and beyond the type of rhetoric that was spewed out all over the nation in the last couple of weeks by people whose opinion I think are founded in colonising practices of the past.
Yeah, and you speak about normalising it in the use of broadcasting. How does it feel for Māori when Pākehā take that step to further nurture our relationship?
I think there are two points that need to be made. One is that those of us who speak to Te Reo Māori are just overwhelmed, going, this is great, fantastic. Yeah. I hear it and I don't even think about it as being something unusual. First couple of times I heard it, I clapped and celebrated in the car as I was driving along. But the so now it has just become normal, and that's exactly where we want to take it. But the second point we need to make is that there are 80%, or it's probably larger than that now, but approximately 80% of New Zealand Māori who don't speak Te Reo Māori, yeah, who will be listening to it going, gee, I wish I knew what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel for our nation. It is the birthright of every Māori child in this country to know their own language at least, but it's also the birthright of every Kiwi born to this nation, where we celebrate a diversity of an Indigenous culture that adds to our own culture as Kiwis, of who we are. When we go overseas, what do? We grab a bit of ponamu, a bit of shell, we wrap it around our neck, and you can spot a Kiwi anywhere in the world because of it. You know, we do the haka. We're proud of those things, and they are intrinsically Māori, but they're intrinsically Polynesian, and they make us celebrate who we are. It's part of who we are. So I feel for those people who don't know their own language. And I finally want to say this, that for 30, 40 years now, the likes of Rangi Nui Walker, Mason Jury, Whare Huia Milroy have all said that success indicators for tertiary students is fluency in Te Reo Māori. For that fact alone, every Māori child at least should be learning their own language. It is their birthright, and it was whipped out of their parents. It was legislated against, and it needs to be restored to our nation as a normal language of conversation.
That was this week's Bits. To listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the BCasts.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/BCasts.